and a warm welcome to everyone here today. Tuesday, 7:30, house group on Zoom, the Sunday morning link. Please join us for that. It is a great experience, and we learn so much more.
Excuse me.
What? Wednesday, 10 a.m, coffee morning in the church. Next Sunday, worship will be led by Peter Strong, and it's our communion. I think that's a reminder for me because it's my prayer. So. Right, there's a prayer request from Chad. Now, the elections have gone the 6th of May, but if we can all pray that the right decision has been made and that the leaders that are in now will make responsible decisions and lead in a good way and a way that brings God into people's lives. There is a link for further information if you would like it. It's Christian Aid Week. So there's so many things going on this week, it's beyond belief. Tuesday the 14th, 7:30 to 8:30, there's an intercessionary prayer over Zoom. We've got details for that if you'd like to join it. Wednesday the 15th of May, 7:30 to 9, prayer event Open Door in Eden Centre in Montagu Street. Wednesday the 15th of May, Church of England Deanery Service. Thursday is the quiz at Hope in Gold Street. Friday 17th, 6:45 to 7 is the Fuller quiz aid for Christian Aid. Yeah, there's PUDs there, so always worth it. Tickets £8 each, young people £5. That includes all your desserts and hot drinks. They do want to know numbers for that, so if you could let them know. Also on the 17th, 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock on the 18th of May, 24/7 prayer, and you can book sessions online to pray privately for an hour if you'd like. Sunday 19th, 8:15 to 9, bow down, open air prayer in the marketplace. Sunday 19th, 9 p.m, night prayer. Service at St Peter and St Paul on the marketplace. I forgot the date for the June one. Keith, was it the 2nd of June at Grepton?
Yes.
Yep, 2nd of June, we're doing a special, we're closing the church and going to Grepton for the service. There is going to be a barbecue, so if you would like to come along, we can arrange lifts for everyone. If you would like to stay for the barbecue, let us know, and you know, they want to know numbers just so they can cater. And Darren would like a quick word as well.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to express our sincere thanks for people who attended and supported us yesterday with the coffee morning breakfast fundraising for the shoeboxes. In total, we raised a staggering £242, so thank you very much. If you couldn't attend yesterday and you'd still like to make a donation, we've got a bric-a-brac stall there if you'd like to make a voluntary donation. It would be very much welcome, because we'd like to, at the moment we can afford 48 boxes to post off in October, and we'd obviously like to try and gather up to 100 boxes so we can match what we did last year. So thank you very much.
On tech, don't ask me why. I tried it at Rocky Road a few weeks ago and I thought, oh, they've got tech at Kerry, I'll have a go. Oops. Anyway, I said, never mind, I can carry on without it. So if it all goes horribly pear-shaped, then I'll carry on without it. But some hopefully an image for you to look at and something for you to see. Anyway, we are here ultimately to worship God together, so it's good to be with you. I've had my workout running back to the car, so we're all set to go. Let us hear some words from the psalmist before we sing together. Psalm 47 says, "Clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under his feet. He put people under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. A psalm of praise. Let us sing praises to God. And I've chosen for us to sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. So let's raise the roof as we rejoice today together.
Thank you.
We'll see. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bring you our praise, our worship, and our adoration here in this place today. We thank you for what a privilege it is to be able to freely come to this place to worship you, to raise our voices, and nobody can stop us. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. We thank you for the blessings that we have in our lives because you are part of our lives. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. We thank you that we can come here just as we are. Perhaps some people here this morning don't really feel like raising their voices. And yet we choose to. We choose to acknowledge your greatness. But in the depths of our soul, we also ask that you would minister to us. As we gather here just as we are, Lord, would you touch our lives afresh? Would you challenge us and encourage us? Would you forgive us? For we have let you down so often in thoughts and words and deeds. Father, we long for a fresh start, a new start, a joyful start as we move forwards into this week. So we pray, Lord, that you would meet with us, that by the power of your Spirit you'd brood amongst us and you'd touch our lives here in this place. That you'd speak to us through thy word, maybe, through the hymn or through what is spoken, Lord. We open our hearts to you and seek to draw near to you and to reconnect with you here in this place in a more deep way, in a joyful way, in an exciting way, that we might be empowered to move forwards with you, to witness for you in the days of the coming week in your strength. But we can't do that without your strength, Lord. So fill us afresh, we pray. We commit our time of worship to you in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord, who taught us to share together in prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's sing together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the sentiments of that old hymn that remind us through all the changing and all the circumstances, all the sorrows, all the disappointments, all the struggles, all the concerns of ourselves and the world, we can bring to thee in prayer. What a privilege. Yet so often we don't. And we hold things to ourselves and we struggle and we become anxious. But Father, in the stillness here this morning, we pray that you would quieten our hearts and help us to bring everything to thee in prayer. As we know you can hear our thoughts and you know our deepest desires, our deepest worries, our deepest hurts. So we bring them to thee in the quietness here today. Lord, we pray that you would minister to your people here in this place today, that you would minister to us and to all those for whom we pray, whether they be individuals, groups, nations. Please intervene by the power of your Spirit in mercy, compassion, healing, and love. May your presence be evident in those situations of which we have been thinking. May your will be done and your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. New Testament reading today, I'm going to read from chapter 10. And these are the words of Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. What a lovely picture that is of the sheep grazing in the pasture with one who cares for them. And that is how our loving Heavenly Father cares for us. And as we reflect on that image in our minds, I thought we would sing the King of Love, My Shepherd Is, Whose Goodness Faileth Never. Let's sing together. I'm now going to read to you from the Old Testament, and the reading I've chosen for today is in Isaiah chapter 30, and I ended up here for one particular verse, which I'll highlight a bit later on. Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. What a place to start. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is in quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses, therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you'll weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." So some words there for us to be encouraged by, I trust. I've had stuck on my wall for many, many, many years, because it started as a student, so I'm not counting. It says, "In quietness and trust shall be your strength." Getting to that place of quiet. If you're anything like me, then when you're a bit frazzled with stuff, you get busy and noisy. But that scripture reminds us that it's in the quiet place, when we actually stop and invite God into our situation, it's in the quiet place, as we read in the Psalms, "Be still and know that he is God." It's in that quiet place where we can find that his trust is sure, he'll never leave us, and his support is available to us. So we're going to have a quieter song now, a song that I learned a few years ago now up at Keswick, and it was in Mission Praise. So it's a new one for you guys, but it's a Christine Getty and Steve Townend song. So I'm going to sing the first verse to you with the music group, and then we'll sing it all through from the beginning again. It's quite an easy little tune to pick up with. Thank you. This is "Speak, O Lord," guys. Have you got it? "Speak, O Lord." Here we go. Thank you. Let's stand and sing. "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. The truths are unchanged. From the dawn of time, these truths that we're learning and reminding ourselves of, they've never changed. God is God, and we're not. These truths will echo down through eternity. It's by grace that we can stand on his promises, and by faith we can walk as he walks with us. So we ask him to speak. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Well, as I said, I went tech. Are we on tech, sir? You need to come a bit nearer. It seems to be it's a tech morning, but it's not a tech morning. Even the battery went flat on us, so there we go. Okay. Could have had the organ this morning. So we're trying to get the screen up. And on here, I just had a couple of little things because, well, we're moving forwards. I don't know whether that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. But there was in a particular, if it does work, there's a little song that I wanted you to listen to, which is why I stuck with it at the end of what I have to share this morning. There's something I'd like you to listen to. We're on. There we go. Carey, May the 12th. Right. So it's over to me now. That's today. Okay. So I'll press that button. I have a conundrum for you. So don't be shy. I have one word for you. I'm going to tell you what it is as it's written on the screen for those of you that perhaps won't see it. And if you get it, shout it out. Let's see who can get it this morning. The conundrum is glint sign. That is one word. Glint sign.
Listening.
Sorry?
Listening.
We have a winner. Listening. Glint sign. So it was just a few letters up there. For those of you that can't see the screen, it was GLINTSINE with a challenge for somebody to come up with what it is. It's listening. And that's what I've got in my mind to share with you today. Listening. Listening. What sort of things do we listen to? So it's quite poignant that the battery went in the microphone, so you couldn't listen as well perhaps as you might. But listening. Listening is quite a challenge, isn't it, for some of us. Some perhaps find it easier to talk than to listen. And some, it has been written, isn't it, they say we've got one mouth and two ears, so we're supposed to do twice as much of this as listening as we are doing talking. But then someone else told me, no, it's just because listening is harder. So you've got two chances. I brought another quote. It was my quote book. I'm not as organised as I might be today. As we think about listening, this is a great little book. How about this one? A high school class in music appreciation was asked the difference between listening and hearing. At first, there was no response, and finally a hand went up and a youngster offered this wise definition. Listening is wanting to hear. That's a good thought. Listening is actually wanting to hear. It's easy to know all the answers if you don't bother to listen to the questions. And this is one of my favourites. I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I am not sure you realise that what you heard is not what I meant. We don't always get the right answers. We don't even get the right... Unless we take time sometimes to... What do you mean by that? To really give attention to really take time to absorb what people are saying. I wonder how often you're listening, but you're doing something else at the same time. And it doesn't go in so deep. Paying attention to things really allows us to listen well. I wonder what it means to you to actually listen. What sort of things do you listen to? Now, these are quite small. I used this at our lunch the other day, so I'm going to read them out to you, so don't worry about it. I nearly didn't put it in. But these were a list of all sorts of things you might listen to. So have a think about the things that you listen to, and I'm going to read the list that I came up with the other day when we were talking about this at our lunch. News readers, haven't even spelt that right. People on the news, we listen to all sorts of news. Our consciences, we always listen to our conscience, or maybe not. Google, Who asked Google something recently? Where we have, of course, Wikipedia, and we believe everything the computers say these days. How about the king when he makes a speech? Do we take notice of what he's got to say, or do we listen because we think it's cool on 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, and then we forget what he said a few minutes later? A favourite soap, that's not the washing kind, that's... Do you soap lovers? Are you... No? Corrie's, EastEnders, I don't know... God's word, of course, got to put that in there somewhere. We all listen to what God's got to say about things. That still small voice that we hear about when we look about Elijah being spoken to. What about your family? We've all got a good time to listen to one another. Husbands, wives, keep looking forwards. We're all good listeners, aren't we? What about our conscience when we're tired? This is my bugbear. I listen too much to my conscience when I'm tired. It doesn't give you the same message as when you're not tired. Have you found that? That the voices in your head are not always the same. When you're tired, you get a different message. Then there's the journalists, media stars, our GP, medical professionals, friends and strangers. All sorts of things that we can listen to and potentially pay attention to. Well, I went Spring Harvest this year, and I want to put that up on the screen because this, sorry Spring Harvest, was my most amazing encounter. I went to services, I was part of the prayer ministry team, and some amazing things happened, and it was a fantastic experience. But when I arrived, I was not in a good place, and I was like, oh no, I've got all these things to do, how am I going to cope? And I went to Chapel St. Leonard, place I'd never been to before. Someone suggested I went up to Sutton-on-Sea, but it seemed a bit too far. So I parked the car and I went out. Everyone said it was going to be raining. I was all in my waterproofs, but it wasn't. It was windy, but it was sunny. And I started to walk along the beach. Well, if you've ever been there, you'll know exactly what I'm about to say. You can walk and walk and walk. And there was hardly anyone around and you could go for miles. I did. I walked for 2 hours and then I realised I've got to walk all the way back. And that was the sea. And it was just me, my head, the sea, but more importantly, an encounter with God. Because I was there and in that space, I was able to sing. And as Jim would laugh at me because I used to sing and worship and dance around on the beach, I don't know if anybody saw me and I really didn't care. But I really felt in that place of quietness, if that makes sense. It wasn't quiet, the sea was making loads of noise and so was I, but it was a place where I could go to encounter with God. What effort do you put into listening to God and to what he has to say to you? You see, words can kill you, words can revive you. It depends what you're listening to. And as we've already thought about, our conscience is not always a good thing to listen to. Because I, for one, know that mine is completely different depending on how tired I am. So this picture of the sea just reminds me, I've got loads of these on my phone, about I just, all sorts of things I took, to be in that place of listening with God. So there's a couple of verses here. It says, when we went to the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us? Have you ever had that thought when you're listening? You've just got that thing that's going on and what are we going to do about it? That voice in my head that I sometimes ignore and sometimes allow to take control, and it sometimes takes me round and round and round and round and round. So these things that we listen to and what we take notice of, that's where we are today. So that's enough of that. Let's go to God's word. Words can kill, words can revive. What words, what voices are you letting take hold of you today? We need to choose carefully the voices that we allow to penetrate our hearts. And sometimes we can have a fantastic day and one thing goes wrong, and what's the thing that you dwell on at night? The one thing that went wrong, and yet you've had potentially 10 hours of fantastic fun, and the one tiny thing that went wrong is the one that gets stuck. Because we listen to all sorts of voices and for some reason we don't always latch on to the best. And the person that I wanted you to just think about for a little while this morning is David. David. What do you know about David, as in the Old Testament David? He wrote the Psalms. Fantastic. He was a psalm writer. He was a singer. A lot of the psalms, we've reflected on the 23rd psalm this morning as we sang about the shepherd and the sheep. David wrote the psalms. What else did David, what do you know about David? He was an adulterer. He was. There you go. He's a psalm writer. He was an adulterer. A little snapshot of who David was. What else do we know about David? He killed a giant. He certainly did. He killed a giant. Remember David and Goliath? Very famous story. He killed a giant. He was a king and a shepherd. So extremes there. He was a shepherd himself. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But he also became a king. We have all these different pictures. He was a fugitive. All sorts of words you could use to describe him. But when you start the beginning of his story, he was a shepherd. And the text, if you want a text to take away with you today, is part of his story. And it says this. She says, can't see it in my book. Let no one lose heart on account of this giant. Let no one lose heart on account of this giant. Now, what do I mean by that? David killed a giant. But what about the giants in your life? The thoughts that you can't get rid of, the voices that you hear that just won't let you move on. You see, David, as we've been reminded, started off as a shepherd boy. And he was ignored. I always feel that way. Whether he was or not, I don't know. But we learn in 1 Samuel 16 that Samuel goes to anoint the next king. And he goes to the house of Jesse. And they're all consecrated. They all get ready for a fantastic party or whatever. Perhaps that's been a little bit offhand. But they were getting together to have a special occasion. And the sons are brought to Samuel. Will they be the next king? And we have Eliab and Shammah, and there's seven of them. They all come forwards, and God says to Samuel, no, 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 no. They're all a no, and yet, Do you ever get those voices in your head? You think, well, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? What am I doing? It tells us that God looks at the heart. He knows what's inside. It's man that looks at the outside. And the question has to go out to Jesse. Have you any more children? And there's one up in the fields looking after the sheep. So he's been neglected. Is he neglected? I don't know. That's my thoughts on the scripture. But he's left out. You can't deny that. He wasn't invited to this occasion. He was out in the fields looking after the sheep. And eventually they call him, it says in the scriptures, there is the youngest, but he's tending the sheep. And Samuel says, send for him. We'll not sit down until he arrives. So that's where it all starts. And then we find he goes into Saul's service and he becomes the harpist, as we know, as he used to sing to and play for Saul to soothe his temperament. And then as we move on through the story into 1 Samuel 17, we find again that David is the odd one out. His brothers have all gone to war, and they've been in the army of Saul for quite some time, and we have this conquest going on where this great Philistine is coming out challenging. Anybody got any giants in their life at the moment that keep challenging them? No matter how you try and subdue it, it just keeps popping up. No matter how busy you get, it just keeps popping up. No matter how much noise you make, it just keeps coming back. And this giant, for 40 days, had been challenging the people. And David turns up. David turns up on the scene with the sandwiches for his brothers, whatever he takes with him. And he wants to know what's going on. And the people are being challenged. And when Eliab, that's David's oldest brother, hears him speaking with the men, trying to find out what's going on, listen to what he has to say. Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Well, that's a bit of a put down if ever I've heard one. Another voice to listen to, along with the one that had him up in the fields on his own. And David's response is as simple as this. Now what have I done? And then we move forwards in the story and we find that he goes to the king. And he's going to fight this Goliath in the strength of God. And how does the king respond? You are only a boy. And he's been fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. And he has to explain himself that he's killed the bear and he's killed the lion. But another put down, even from the king, but you're only a boy. But eventually, Saul does say to David, go and the Lord be with you. And then he gets jeered at by the giant, doesn't he? If you remember the story. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But David stands firm and he says, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air. David was listening to voices in his head. Why didn't he give up? Oh, he's only a shepherd. Oh, he's only a boy. Oh, what are you doing down here? So many voices in his head that he could have been listening to. What voices are you listening to that are stopping you destroying that giant in your life and moving forwards? Well, the text that I referred to a few moments ago is in 1 Samuel 17 and it's verse 32. And it says this. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this giant. Let no one lose heart on account of this giant. Well, it says the Philistine, but the giant. And yet we do. And I want to finish the sentence simply as this. Let no one lose heart on account of this. You finish the sentence. What is it for you? Let no one lose heart on account of this. Because Jesus knows our every weakness. Isaiah 30:15, strength is found in quietness and trust. Isaiah 30:21, this way, walk in it, says the Lord. Oh, that this may be bigger than me, but God is bigger than your this. The this you are concerned about may feel huge to you, but it's not as big as God. We can listen to all sorts of voices in our head. And I've been challenged since I've been studying David again just recently about various things. And this one's been going on and on and on now because here's a question. What did David take to battle with him? 5 little stones. 5 little stones. And he only needed one, didn't he? But he took 5 little stones. And this is where my head goes. I've been putting together some 5 little stones, like Jesus knows my every weakness. Take it on board. Hold it. He knows. Jesus knows my every weakness. And then we can listen to who? Him. Listen to him who knows. You study God's word and see how many 5 little stones you can find. My thoughts were in Deuteronomy the other week, and there's a verse here that it simply says this. He will never leave you. Wow. And yet someone says, oh, but you're on your own, you're all lonely and nobody cares. God says, I'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's too many. He'll never forsake you. You see my point. Study God's word and see what you can come up with. Because God is bigger than this. I don't know what voices you've got in your head. I've had many voices over the years with many different things, as many of you here know my story. But God is bigger than whatever this is. And there's a song that I want to play to you now, if the technology works. And for you to contemplate and think about what voices you are listening to. But God wants to say to you today, I'm bigger than this. And I love you. I know your every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's see if the tech works. Many voices in our head. What you say of me? Whose voice, what voice will you be listening to?
In James, we read this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Yes, man looks at our outward appearance. Man looks at our lives, but you know our hearts. You know all the voices in our heads that would challenge us and make so much noise so often that we can't hear your still small voice. So we thank you for the reminder from your word today that in quietness and trust shall be our strength. And I pray that you'd help each one of us to bring before you our giants and lay them down. And instead of focusing on the this, our giants, that we might focus on the giant slayer, our God, who is bigger than this. Help us, Lord, to listen to your voice. Oh, speak and make us listen. Help us to pay attention to what you say to us. Help us to believe the promises in your word, to hold on to them, regardless of what's happening around us. That as we receive your blessings on our lives, we may in turn be a blessing to others and give glory to your holy name. For you deserve all my praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn I've chosen for us today is "O Jesus, I Have Promised," which may seem an unusual choice. And it took me a while to find it because the verse I was after says this: "Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion and the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul." But that's verse 3, so you'll get there in a minute. Let's sing together. Thanks.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you will speak into our lives. We ask your forgiveness, for so often you're ready to speak to us and to help us, but we're not listening to you. But you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say, I am yours. And so, Father, as we move forwards into this week and as we fight the voices in our mind, we pray that we might discern your voice as your word reminds us that your sheep know your voice. And yet so often we wander off and listen to all sorts of things rather than taking notice of yours. So you pray that you'd help us. Help us to discern your voice. Help us to lay hold of your promises no matter what. Help us to take everything to thee in prayer. For you know us and you care for us. May we all listen to the one who knows. To that end, Father, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us evermore. Amen.